We will be reading from Esther chapter 4, beginning with verse 8 and going through the end of the chapter. So if you want to find that in your Bibles, I would encourage you to do so. Esther chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Lord, I know we just prayed, but I want to pray again, and I want to ask that as we come to this time of sharing out of your word, we're going to read from your word, God, and just help our minds and our souls and our hearts to be open to recognize that your spirit is so prevalent here. And if we're just willing to accept that, that we will not only hear, we will experience, we will feel, we will know a truth that comes from your scriptures as we seek to worship you. This prayer we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edit for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, so to show to Esther and explain to her, and he told him to instruct her to go to the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they should be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. What does God want me to do with my life? How does He want me to serve Him? Where does He want me to go? Will God not speak to me? God can do anything. Can't He send a message directly from Himself? Perhaps through one of His angels? Or I would settle for just a note in my mailbox to let me know where He wants me to go and what He wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. I just want to be the person God wants me to be and do what God wants me to do. Have you ever said something similar to this? Have you ever felt this way, that you really... you've got that relationship with God and you want your life to mean something? You're not sure what to do. I propose that, like most things we humans do when it comes to God, we make it more difficult and complicated than it needs to be. Rarely do we need to work so hard or go so far to discover God's plans for our life. Have you ever considered you did not get where you are at this moment in life by accident? That perhaps God had a hand in putting you in the family you're in, surrounded by the friends you have, located in the community in which you live, at the school or job where you spend much of your waking hours, equipped with the talents, gifts, resources, and possessions you have? Have you ever really thought about that? How you got to where you are and why you are there? Admittedly, we make choices that may steer us away from God's intended purpose. But even so, God is always there waiting for us to take just one step towards Him, and we will find ourselves heading back into His will. And with each step, it becomes more clear that I am where I am because this is where God desires me to be. But why did God put me in a broken-down, rust-covered jalopy of a car and living in a trailer with a leaky roof, busted pipes, and no AC in 100-degree weather while my coworker has a brand-new car, a $500,000 home, and everything he could possibly desire? Don't go there. Don't play the comparison game. You will lose every time. This is about you and God. We can gain some insight, I believe, as we continue to look together at the life of Esther. Let's consider Esther's situation for a moment. She was an orphan. No mother, no father, being raised by her cousin Mordecai. All we know from the Bible was that she had no parents. Extra-biblical text suggests that Esther's father died while her mother was pregnant with her and that the mother died during childbirth. She was also a foreigner, living in Persia over 100 years after Jews had been taken captive in Babylon. If she wanted to, Esther could have shared her own woe is me story. The way I read the account in Esther, becoming queen was not something she ever planned, maybe or even desired. But once it did happen, she could have easily said, "Whoo! Finally, I get a break. I can live the good life." Maybe she could have assumed this was God's blessing on her. And she should just live the rest of her life taking it in. After all, didn't she deserve it? But God had something more in mind for Esther. More than she could possibly imagine. She was in the place she was not just by happenstance, but according to Mordecai. Who knows? But that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. Something else we can pick up on from Esther is that when we agree to follow God, there will likely be a time we are called to do something that is bigger than us. Something we do not feel we could possibly accomplish on our own. Something that requires us to trust God and becomes more evident to those who are around us, that God's hand is at work more than our own. So you see, I think when we start thinking about God's call on our life, and God's called each and every one of us, there are two things we see here in Esther that can keep us from accepting that call. One is believing that it has to be some big, grandiose, off in Africa, teaching people there to really count, which isn't true at all. Or that we have to be able to accomplish it on our own. Neither one of those are true. If we're doing what God wants us to do, I believe in every circumstance, even if God's called you somewhere, in every circumstance, it starts where you are. It's kind of like that saying, I can't get there from here. I got to go somewhere else first before I can get there. It's kind of funny. It doesn't really make sense. And the same thing is true at when we talk about being in God's will, doing what God's called us to do. I've got to figure out what God's called me to do so I can go there and do it. No. God's called you where you are. It may lead you somewhere else, but God has placed a call on your life here and now. whatever your circumstances are, wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, God desires you to serve Him here and now. Verse 11 said, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Now, it may not seem like a big deal to us because we kind of know how the story turns out. And we know that Esther ends up being okay, so to go before the king doesn't seem like that big a deal, but it was. She could die. And it was, I don't know, I'm just assuming it may have been more likely that she would die than not. There are a couple of reasons for this. It wasn't just a haphazard rule that they put that to make the king feel big. A lot of the kings in this day, people were out to assassinate them. And they would come or they would send people. And so it was very dangerous for the king to have someone uninvited come in to their court. And so that's why the law was there, that if I didn't call you and I don't have reason for it and think you should be here, you're going to die. Like, that was the expectation. Not that they could, but that was the expectation. And not only that, it hadn't been that long ago. What happened to the last queen the king had? When she didn't do really just what he desired her to do, he got rid of her. He didn't kill her, but he got rid of her. So, might be a little bit hesitant if you were Esther. But I'm telling you, when we are seeking to go where God desires us to go and be who God desires us to be, we're going to end up going to some places we don't expect and doing some things that we really don't think we can do. And one of the things I said that I want to reiterate too, when we're really doing God-sized work in the kingdom, God gets the credit. And one of the ways that works is that people look at you and they say, you know, Mark did a great job that he did, but how? How did he really get all that done? How did he accomplish that? And then as you look, even without having to say it, you see God at work in people's lives accomplishing things that you know they would not be able to do on their own. It just doesn't make sense. That's what it means to seek after God. But I want you to hear, and I think that's sometimes why it sounds like we can't do it, because it sounds so big. It sounds like you're accomplishing these huge things. If Mark was told he had to do this and he just had to figure out how to do it on his own, he would have all kinds of reasons why that may not work. And why it can't happen. That's why, remember where I said where you start? You don't get your assignment and go over here and figure out how to do it. You start where you are in your relationship with God. And ask God who He wants you to be in the moment. And in that moment, you begin to grow and you're open and you understand. And then when there's a step in a direction God wants you to go, you understand that God's not only leading you in that step, but God's with you there. And with each step, there's a sense of power that God's given you, even if you don't understand why, to accomplish the things that He desires you to do. And you know from the inside out that it's not about you. It's about your Lord and Savior. So, Esther's response was, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And God used her to deliver Jewish people from death. We will see further in the book of Esther that the king reveres Esther and places Mordecai in a position of honor So it the story has that type of ending. So the takeaway this morning is that God does have a plan and a purpose for you. And you don't have to go looking for it. It begins with you. It begins with you where God has you now. God has called you for such a time as this. And the calling is bigger than you are. But if you seek Him, you will know where and when He is leading. There's one last thing that I want us to look at, and it seems pretty small, but to me it's not. Because there was another thing that Mordecai told Esther. You'll probably remember it from what we just read. He said, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place." God doesn't have to have us to accomplish His will. Because if He did, we would mess it up. God's will is going to be done. But God created us to be co-creators with Him. And He desires us to be His tools, His instruments, His hands, His feet, His voice in accomplishing His will. God wants to use us, not to accomplish our will, but to accomplish His will. And when we allow that to happen, hear that word, allow, because we aren't capable of doing it ourselves any more than Esther was capable of doing what she did all by herself. God was in the midst of that. But if we allow it, then God takes that and blesses it. And people, it is so amazing to know that you've been used by God in some way. And it is also very humbling. When that happens, when it genuinely happens, there's no danger of you saying, "Look at what I did," because you know you couldn't have done it. Absolutely, you couldn't have done it. But God desires to do that with every single one of us. With the children that were here, that was the simple message I was trying to give to them this morning. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your situation. God has a plan for you now and wants to use you. That's He created us to be in relationship with Him, but in the midst of that, we want to serve Him. We want to be used by Him. And the story of Esther helps us to see that in a very practical way. So, as the praise team comes up, I want you to take a moment and think about where you are right now. One of the points I put in the bulletin, I think, is I am where I am. A lot of times, we would really not rather be where we are. We'd rather be somewhere else. Maybe physically, maybe in the situation in life, maybe in relationships. We'd rather be somewhere else than where we are right now. But I tell you, as believers, as one that has a relationship with God, instead of wishing you were somewhere else, I would challenge us to realize that in that moment, God is very much with us. And God has a plan in that moment, a beautiful plan that will take us to a wonderful place. And I don't mean just heaven. I mean it will. Our relationship with God begins when we accept Him here on earth. And so He blesses our life in a tremendous way if we allow it. So where are you today? You are where you are. what does God desire of you right now? Because he has a plan, and if you're feeling like you're just going through the motions, that's not what he wants. It may not be at some big exciting thing, but as you feel you're going through the motions, he wants you to understand how he may be using that to impact other people's lives, or how he may be using it to prepare you for something that you aren't intended to understand and know about yet. But there's always an opportunity to embrace where we are and realize that in that moment, God has a plan and a blessing and an opportunity. So if you happen to have come in here this morning, or you're watching us this morning and wondering, what difference does my life really make? Why am I here? I want you to know today, even though you may not know specifically what it is, God has a plan, and it's a good plan, and I encourage you to embrace that. We're going to have a time of invitation. The praise team is going to sing as they do. You're invited. The altar's open. Don't let the chairs get in the way for you. You can sit in them. You can kneel on them. You can do whatever you want to with them, but they're not in the way of the altar. I'll move them. It's a problem for you. We should never have a barrier that keeps us from coming to the altar. I'm here, and I'll be willing to pray with you if you desire. But what's more important, coming to the altar can be something that's a reminder throughout the week to you of a commitment that you've made. But really what you need to do is you need to come to God literally. And we need to do that every day. And if that's something you've been struggling to do, I encourage you. That's what needs to happen today. You need to say, okay, God, I am where I am. What do you want for me?